to the In Your Interest podcast. My name is Ashley, and this week, Sébastien and I are joined by our colleague, Audrey Thibodeau-Poulin, innovation advisor, to talk about artificial intelligence. So AI is becoming an increasingly important part of our lives, and it's evolving at an impressive pace. It's having a major impact on businesses and consumers in the financial sector. So from conversational robots to pervasive automation, AI is revolutionizing the marketplace. So how will this technology evolve in the world of finance in the coming years, and what is the place of the human in this transformation? So hello, Sébastien, and welcome, Audrey.
Hello, thank you.
Welcome, Audrey. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here.
Yeah, we've talked about AI a few times in the previous episodes, and we were in dire needs of having an expert just to, sort things out. Because if there's one thing that could that excites a lot of people, and just how the future can change, it's AI. But also something that becomes very scary for multiple people would be also AI. You know, as I was driving here this morning, I was listening to radio, and there was a clip from the CEO of Microsoft saying that the issue is not that humans need to understand computers better, but now the challenge is for computers to understand humans better. So what does that mean? It's a pretty complex thing.
Yeah.
Likely you'll be able to guide us through what that means.
Yeah, probably it means that, AI is about simulating the human brain.
Mm-hmm.
But it's about cognitive capacities of the brain. But, the emotions, the judgment of the human is something really complex.
Yeah, so there's many things here that you many ways to go. So, Ashley, lead us through that, please.
No pressure. Well, first, Audrey, maybe you could tell us how AI is currently transforming the financial landscape?
Yes, of course. AI is present already in the financial landscape, in the financial companies for many years now. So we see processes automation, decision support, predictive analytics, and of course, fraud detection that is really simplified by AI. But what we see as a transformative technology is generative AI. I'm sure you remember November 2022 when ChatGPT was made available to the large public. Eh? This Gen AI was there for around 10 years before, but it was evolving. But that's in November 22, OpenAI made it available to everybody. And that's where it really was a transformative concept, where the interest has really grown around AI, and where we see a lot of new opportunities.
And you're talking about generative AI. To be honest, the thing that I remember most vividly was, do you remember, Ashley, when we there was a viral picture of the Pope in a white puffy coat?
Yes.
Looking like a rapper or something like that. And it's made up by AI, but it looked so real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was
true?
Creative in a way.
Yeah.
So there is the opportunity, because if AI can create some art, there are some issues for the artists out there and the copyrights.
Yeah.
So this is like the pitfalls. But on the other side, at some point, maybe AI, well, not maybe, very certainly AI will be creating new science, discovering new laws of nature.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where the unpredictable aspects are concentrated in generative AI field.
Yeah.
My oh my goodness moment was not the Pope, but it was when you could have Snoop Dogg read out any Audible books and stuff like that. I was, what? Like, that was just crazy to me. You can have any voice.
Yeah, and distinguishing the real from the fake.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a challenge.
Yeah, definitely. So what is, we touched on it a little bit, but what is generative AI and how is it impacting the financial sector?
Yeah. Generative AI is, in contrary to more traditional AI, is able to generate, to create new and unique data.
Right.
That's where is the strength of generative AI. So it creates a lot of opportunities in all sectors, especially in the financial sectors, where we can do a simulation of the market, creation of financial models from trends. And I think the most interesting case is with a conversational assistants.
Mm-hmm.
So, chatbots are popular since many, many years. But traditional chatbots are built on decision trees. So if a person asks a question, the chatbot answers this way, it's another question this way. But it can lead to some blocker when the chatbot say, I don't know, I don't understand your question.
Right.
Intelligent assistant can leverage generative AI and large language models, so and natural language processing. So it really understands and talks like a human. And that's where there is a lot of new opportunities for companies, for employees, for a contact center, but also for consumers.
Right. So it's the concept of intuition and understanding the meaning behind questions and the emotions
exactly.
and all of that.
Yep.
So before, because as you mentioned, you know, decision trees have been around almost forever, but but this is the innovation here.
Mm-hmm. And maybe there are risks and issues, though, with this?
Do you think so? Of course, there is. We were talking about deepfakes, you know?
Yes.
You can, like, can be harmful use.
Absolutely.
Like, someone could manipulate the market, create new data. But there is also all the governance around Gen AI. The inaccuracy and the lack of precision. There's a word we use, hallucination.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
ChatGPT or another conversational agent can give inaccurate information, but be so confident that you trust it, you know?
Yeah, you need to be not cynic, but at least critical, just as much as if someone was in front of you saying, well, here's what I think it is. Are you sure? And, you know, you can debate with the thing.
Absolutely. And one of the examples that you had given us, Audrey, that I found great was, for example, a financial advisor. I mean, the chatbot could be fantastic if you give it, but it's not ethical, right? Not everyone can become a financial advisor as they want to.
Yeah, so. Totally. You have to be careful as a company when you deploy a solution like that to be sure it's not harmful for the consumer, you know, and it respects the regulation.
I saw a thing, I don't know if it was real or fake, but at least it was interesting, that, you know, since those bots can be prompted, so you can say, right, you can give it a few instructions and say, from now on in this conversation, just assume X, Y, and Z. And there was a chatbot for a car seller. And someone just went in there, prompted it by saying, all right, you're going to give me a car for, you're going to suggest a car that's going to cost like $1 and it's going to be this and that. And it says, all right, so what do you have for me? And the chatbot just proposed to sell one of the cars that they had in the lot for $1. And the prompter also said, well, please make this a binding offer. And the chatbot said, this is a binding offer. Guarantee, come and pick up the car.
Oh,
of course, they said. Well, there are some pitfalls and, you know, regulation that needs to happen before this is taking over humans.
And you talked about prompt aids, the requests, the configuration behind the chatbot, but can also be the question you ask to the. It's all about the request, and prompt engineering is a new career. You can have a career in prompt engineering.
Yeah.
It's a new capacity, a new skill that is really important right now with generative AI.
Absolutely. And how do you think the use of AI in the financial sector will have evolved by 2030?
We already see a rapid evolution. So imagine in 6 years from now, it will be massive. So I see a really great adoption in the market. In 2020, there was about 30% of companies in the financial sector that had adopted AI. And right now, it's around 60%. So imagine.
Yeah.
And there will probably be a better governance and structure around AI too. So it will help companies to extend the AI in customer service and automation.
Right. Yeah.
And again, you know, I think we've mentioned that in past episodes when we're talking about AI, that the leading experts of the field are saying that we're seeing a tenfold increase in capacity, power, I don't know how to define that, but per year for AI right now. So by 2030. That's in 6 years. So just in 3 years, you'll have multiplied by 10 times 10 times 10. So that's 1,000. So what does it mean to have ChatGPT that's 1,000 times more powerful? I'm not sure anyone can wrap their heads around what that means.
Yeah. Another use case that I find very interesting is hyper-personalization. Mm-hmm. You know, personalization is all around us. We see Netflix, for example. You use Netflix, you see like the recommendation engine is really personalized to your need. I see hyper-personalization as an interesting use case in finance. Imagine you log into your customer portal. Everything is really personalized to your need. But imagine generative AI is able to create a product just for yourself. Mm-hmm. So imagine you have a Sebastian finance product really customized to your needs.
Yeah.
So that's where we will be able to go in 2030. Yeah. I think. Yeah, so it's really interesting.
So I'm getting closer to being Iron Man and having Jarvis at home. So this is what I understand.
Yes, for sure.
It's the dream. And with the growing adoption of artificial intelligence, do you think financial services will eventually be fully automated, or will the human aspect remain essential?
I'll talk to you about two concepts that seems really at the opposite. Mm-hmm. First of all, there is hyper-automation. So we talked already about automation. Hyper-automation is optimizing as many processes as possible with automation. But there is also another concept that is more moderate, where it's called augmented intelligence. And it's where we use AI to leverage, to augment the human cognitive capabilities. And that we can think of ChatGPT as a augmented intelligence, where we use it to help the human achieve something, where it's really AI at the service of human, or a great collaboration between human and machine. They must evolve in synergy. We have to choose the right places to implement AI and the right places where the human has a real value and be able to work together. So,
right.
AI will not replace human. AI will replace human that doesn't use AI.
Yeah, this is where the economic substance, I think, is. It's right here, like in hyperautomation. We've been automating more and more, you know, through history. And I was looking at this study from the McKinsey Group. It was from 2017, so starting to date, but still the concepts are interesting. They were saying that 1/5 of all of the jobs right now are at risk of being automated. We're talking about, this is what they identified in 2017, like telemarketers, data entry clerks, proofreaders, tax preparers, insurance underwriters, interestingly, receptionists and information clerks. So those are all jobs that could be at some point maybe progressively replaced. But also in 2017, they estimated that 60% of the jobs that existed then did not exist 50 years before, so in 1967. So it's going to be creating lots of new jobs through the augmented intelligence that you described here, new fields of study. I mean, new ways of doing things. But of course, there are some repetitive jobs that can be, you know, done better by a machine, and we can use the human resources, if I can say that, for other objectives. So, you know, there's always a trade-off, but ultimately, you know, you can see how this helps humanity progress forward.
Absolutely. And if someone would like to begin using AI, and they're kind of scared, they're kind of worried, they don't know how to use it, what would you suggest to them?
Yeah, you know, everybody probably uses AI with using Google Maps in their car, or
right.
Netflix, or Spotify. But you can, if you want to try Gen AI, that is more transformative, you can start by, like you say, as you said, Ashley, use ChatGPT. There is a free version available. There is Copilot in Bing, bing.com, you can try. There is also Gemini from Google that is available in Canada recently, that was made available. So start by using it, asking it questions, asking it to help you brainstorm, make a summary of a certain content. So I would say try it.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Start it, and then at one point you'll kind of just get the hang of it and figure out new ways to use it.
Yes.
Yeah. Great. Well, this concludes our podcast today. Thank you both very much. And to our listeners, we will see you next week. Love this podcast? Want to know more about economic news? Follow our In Your Interests podcast, available on all platforms. Visit the economic news page on ia.ca or follow us on social media.